And welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. This is Tom McDew again with the one and only Father John Gazzaldo. Thanks, Father, for joining us.
My pleasure. Always enjoy talking to you about ultimate things, getting to heaven, the faith, being a saint.
Salvation.
What else is there?
Yeah. What else is there?
What else is there?
And I say joining us, and frankly, what would Father say would not be very interesting without Father. So, it's kind of important to have him here. Folks, we are seeking your questions. So that burning question, that burning issue that you'd like to hear Father John's opinion on, he is a little opinionated if you hadn't figured that out already. And
Just
that's a
about a
good thing.
6 out of 10.
6 out of 10.
That's
Yeah.
it.
Send them to me, Tom at armorofgodradio.com, and when we collect them all here later in a month, we'll do a little mailbag edition of What Would Father Say. We've been talking. We started last week talking about the cardinal virtues and the seven deadly sins or seven capital sins. Different words for different places. And we got through one of them. So we're going to try and do a little bit better. I'll try and keep Father on task a little better, and we'll get to a couple here. We spent a lot of time talking about pride, and probably rightfully so, since it is the grandest
The
of all
king,
of
the queen, yeah, that's the
yeah,
greatest of all. Yeah,
king, queen, crown prince. Yeah, all
the
of the
sin of Satan.
above.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Father. So let's jump in here with the next one on the list, I guess, is lust.
Yeah. So what is lust? The church always says an in intense longing, or it's an unbridled or misdirected or unright. Ordered unhealthy ordered towards sexual gratification, and that sex is not a bad thing, but it must have boundaries. Sex is like fire and water. We need it. It's life, but if not respected, it can kill you. It can kill you. And I will say, I think I will say that Thomas Aquinas, and I think even Dante in his Inferno, consider this to be the least of the capital sins. Maybe it's something he did struggle with. Thomas Aquinas considers an abuse of a faculty that humans share with animals, and the sins of the flesh are less grievous than spiritual offenses. He says lust is generally thought to be the mildest of capital sin. Having said that, I think in 2025, this is the one that's reached whole other levels, especially with the onset of pornography. Lust, like all the capital sins, says, "Looky here, and I will make you happy." It's the forbidden fruit. It's out of curiosity. If I give in to this lust, or whatever it is, which is fornication, adultery, rape, bestiality, all of those things, pornography, masturbation, the lie is, if you give in to this, you'll be happy. And everybody knows, even people who are atheists know that's not true. It brings guilt and emptiness and sorrow. And especially if you're in a committed relationship with a spouse, it always hurts them. It always hurts them. But all it leads, just like any drug, it can lead to addiction, which leads to despair. People who are addicted to lust, addicted to pornography, are miserable, and they want to be free of it because, in their heart, and some people say, well, they've been taught to feel guilty. No, it's written in their heart, something's wrong with this. I just did something wrong. And the remedy of that is chastity. What is chastity? Is chastity white knuckling it, trying to get through it? No, it's setting it free. Bringing Christ into it. Recognize there's a demon out there for lust, and to say, "I renounce you, I renounce you, I renounce you." But also, it is when we, it's also, we can always talk about gluttony too, because gluttony is attached to lust. It's related with its bodily discipline, self-mastery. I don't know if you've seen this on It's been all over the news and all over. I keep coming up on my feeds. This couple at a Coldplay concert that got caught. Have you
Oh,
seen that?
yes.
It's
Yes.
everywhere. It's
Yes.
everywhere that this whole family has now been destroyed.
Two families now.
Yeah, two families. And when people commit adultery, okay, what happens? Oh my gosh, it destroys everything. It's not even just a sin. Even in HR, in the biggest companies, you get fired because they recognize it causes damage. It causes damage and hurtfulness. And
And wasn't that lady in charge of the HR
she was
department?
the HR lady. Yeah. And she
Oh
was
my
married.
gosh.
I mean, it was so, and all kinds of things are coming out. And I hate that I know all this stuff because it
I
keeps
know.
coming up in my feeds.
I saw
The kid
some.
from the neighbor came over, the kid goes, "Isn't that your wife?" He had it on his phone. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
But these consequences are real, and even if they seek forgiveness, even if they seek healing, there's still consequences. And God can use them. God can use this. It may take a decade or two to be healed from this, to work it out. But those two people that got caught at that concert, God wants them to be happy. And you can always tell what if you're doing something wrong if you have to hide.
Yeah,
Yep.
exactly.
What are you hiding for? What are you hiding for? From who?
Yeah.
You're hiding from the world. God knows you're doing this. And if anything, that's what we say, bring all this out into open. That's what's great about the confessional. Bring this out into the open. Some of our young men struggling with porn addiction, and sometimes it reaches levels that can lead to despair. What happens with porn addiction is then they start using it daily. Then they start using it multiple times a day. I remember hearing that some of our teenage boys are no longer looking at pornography. They're making it
Oh,
with their
gosh.
phones. They're making it, and they're asking their girlfriends to send them pictures, and they're sending pictures, and it's never enough. And it's addictive, and it ruins families, it ruins marriages, and it takes your happiness away. But next thing you know, you're and it takes a community to lift them out. Conf But that's what the remedy. What is the remedy? The Christian
Counseling.
faith, the Catholic faith,
Yeah.
community, prayer, fasting, confession, the sacraments, and even having and there's actually, I tell people right now, get Covenant Eyes on your phone, on your computer. Have someone that you can be your what do you call that partner? Accountability partner.
Accountability.
Because once, because it says, confess your sins to one another. People in the early days of the church knew when someone confessed their sins to the community, then it was dispersed in the community. Then they would forgive you. It would forgive you. It's kind of sad because nowadays people are on. Well, let me take that back. People are forgiving. I think they tend even, I keep seeing Mike Tyson on TV and on things. I mean, didn't this guy go to prison for rape? People seem to have forgiven him. I see Arnold Schwarzenegger. Come on. He's out there. So people are forgiving. People are forgiving. And sometimes God can work. It takes time, but a damage. And once it becomes a habit, then you lose your freedom, you lose your happiness, and the devil got you. That's what makes it dead. It can kill your relationship with God. So what is the remedy? Well, chastity.
Chastity.
And remember that means you have an ordered life that's integral, that's been integrated. It's been integrated. We have a group of, here and other places where Courage Ministry, where we minister to people same-sex attraction. We're not trying to cure them per se. We're trying to make it integrated to heal the wounds that has caused this disordered inclination, to heal those wounds that, and I hate to use the analogy of a car, but to recognize, a mechanic looks at a car and says, "Well, this is wrong, this is wrong." And when he straightens it out, fixes it, it's running on all pistons. I remember one time I had a car and it had some problems. I took it into a friend who was a mechanic. He goes, I'll look at it, Father. And it took it into his shop. He spent a day with it. He made a few adjustments, replaced a few things, paid him like $50. I remember getting in the car and thinking, I didn't know it could run this well. I didn't know it drove like this. I didn't know that. I remember driving a priest. This priest, I won't name him, but he came from a wealthy family. He had a BMW. And he asked me to go pick up his BMW. I didn't know cars drove like that. I didn't know. I said, this is a dream. This is a dream. But when we have been healed of those wounds and practicing our faith, the whole world looks different. You know, say, I didn't know I could fly like this. This is what it means to be holy. It's freedom, it's happiness. And even when evil comes at us, we can face it with confidence. We know, okay, this is an issue, but the Lord will work it out. We have faith in Him. We're gonna attack it. I'm not gonna let it bother me. The evil one wants you to give in to despair. You can't be healed, you can't be fixed. Be surprised what he can do. God can heal.
I think that lust is almost cousins, maybe. I don't know if that's the right way to frame it, to envy. I think there's some back and forth there that
Maybe, yeah.
we get envious of, we get covetous of another man's or another, someone else's spouse, and
And it's a lie. It's a lie. You're looking at images that look at you and say, I think they like you. I will say that some really neat science has come out about pornography. And it's a little touchy and a little R-rated, but I hope you're okay with it. And when a man goes to a psychiatrist or even a priest and says that they're struggling with pornography, there's an author out there, I can't think of his name right now, but he says to go and ask him, what kind of pornography are you looking at? What kind? What kind of, and usually it's a genre of pornography. And that's usually a key to where they need healing. It's a key for where they need healing. Whether, because it's usually a flavor of pornography, whether it's
I
violent
see.
or unnatural or certain types of people. They're like, what? We say, what are you looking at? And if they tell you, so this is where you need healing. So that's where the devil overplays his hand. He overplays his hand. Okay, so now your sin reveals where you can be set free. This is your key to freedom. This points out a sin, an injury, a longing in your heart that has been allowed to fester. Now let's heal that. Let's go back there and let's heal that. And you could triumph under this instead of being a victim to it. So, and it's
So how do
empowering.
we how do we how do we and maybe it's as important to kind of talk about the difference between envy and lust, and
So,
what makes envy different, I guess, is a better way to phrase that.
envy of another person, I think that's another capital sin, or jealousy. Different people have different definitions of those, and I'll admit that. But envy is not so much I look up to you, I wish I was like you. Envy says to another person who's, I don't like the dealt the hand that God dealt me. And it says to this other person, I don't want you to have that. I don't want you to have that. Envy usually goes to a relationship between persons instead of saying, oh, this, congratulations on your new home. Wow, I'm so happy for you. I'm so excited for you. Envy says, wow, you don't deserve that. I should have that. You don't deserve this. I should have that. And all of a sudden, resentment comes from other people's achievements. Resentment comes from other people's talents. And that's the, because it separate. This is what a narcissist struggles with when he finds out that somebody else is better at something that he thinks he's good at. That's what kills him. And so he has to resent them. He has to say they don't deserve it. They must have cheated. They must have stolen it. And all of a sudden you find yourself alone, angry. Instead of praising, like this is the devil, instead of praising the Father or God, He envied him. I want what you have. I'm going to take what you have. I'm going to destroy it. Yeah. So that's envy, isn't it? And all of a sudden you find yourself isolated in the corner, mad at everybody, miserable. And that's what envy does. It kills your happiness. Yeah.
I read somewhere that the spiritual sin of envy often leads to the corporal sin of lust. You know, that being envy of other things that someone else has will cause us to
Yeah.
lust.
It cuts,
But
it's,
again,
I'm reading here from St. Thomas says it cuts a person off from their neighbor.
Right.
Do not covet thy neighbor's goods, do not covet thy neighbor's wife. In some places, those kind of go together. I want what you have. It says the first stage, Thomas Aquinas says the first stage of the envious person attempts to lower other person's reputation. And then the middle stage, he says, envious person has joy at another person's misfortune or grief at another person's prosperity. And the third stage is when sorrow causes hatred. The third stage is hatred because you're sorrowful of this other person. And so it causes unhappiness. So it cuts us off from other people, and that's why it's coupled, like I think you said, with lust. It's coupled with don't covet your neighbor's wife, because you start envying his wife, you'll give in to sins of lust, because you want what you think you deserve, what you think will make you happy. Yeah, because that's some, even remembering like what men struggle with pornography, when you look at that woman on the screen, that's somebody's daughter. That might be someone's mom or wife.
Made in the image and likeness of God.
And that is your sister in Christ. That's your sister in Christ. And even saying that to yourself, that's my sister in Christ. All of a sudden, wow. Wow. Because a father looks at his own daughter. When a father sees that a boy is gawking at his daughter, he becomes jealous. No, that's my, don't you look at her that way. To see, or when a man sees someone looking at his wife or his sister, and all of a sudden his intention is to protect her, you're the enemy. You incur God's wrath, and he has righteous wrath, and you don't want to do that.
No, you don't want to do that.
No, you don't want to go out that road.
So what's our antidote then for envy?
Yeah, gratitude. Gratitude. Thank you, God, for making me short. Thank you, God, for making me bald. Thank you for making us ugly. We have a role to play. And we have a role to play. It's like on a chessboard, do the pawns celebrate their role? The pawns make it possible for them behind them to be victorious. We have a youth group here, bunch of beautiful girls, and you try to tell the boys, you get your dignity from defending them and protecting their honor because they're beautiful and you're not. Let's just face it. You're not. You guys have stinky, you're stinky, you're gross, you're crude. And your job is to be out front protecting their honor because hopefully somebody's protecting your future wife's honor. And someday you approach a man and say, can I take your role as protector, provider of this woman and to defend her honor, willing to die to do it. Because yeah, that's to be grateful for what God has made us and know that, are you a fan of Tolkien and Lord of the Rings and
Oh
all of
yeah.
that?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that little hairy guy Gimli. Little guy Gimli. I said if I was one of those, that was who I'd be. He's not getting
Well, minus
married.
the hair.
Oh yeah, minus the hair. He's not getting married anytime soon, but he fell in love with that queen. Remember? He was in love with her. And when he was around her, he would just get nervous and be quiet. And just to be around her, he appreciated because he knew he was in the presence of beauty. And but he had a role to play. He was gruff and dangerous and was willing to die. That was his role, and to be grateful for it. It's not to be like, you know, these other good looking fighters. No, that's not his job. But they look to him and say, you know, we're thankful for you too. And the gifts that you bring, God made you for a reason. You're out here. And you never appreciate a plumber more than when you're.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I think that I've heard another definition of this is brotherly love. And I think, again, going back to, like you were talking about, recognizing that everyone around us is part of the body of Christ, made in the image and likeness of God. And, you know, when we get, and I'm guilty of this, we get frustrated at a person who's driving 5 miles below the speed limit on the highway.
That's me. They drive by and tell me I'm number one.
Yeah.
With their finger.
Not what they're telling you, but you know, but again, I think that's the key antidote, again, for envy.
Yeah. Everybody, you can't, the hand cannot tell the foot can't tell the eye, I don't need you.
I don't need you.
Mm-hmm. The ear cannot tell the foot, I don't need you. We could be either jealous. When I used to play, believe it or not, in high school, I played a little football when I was a freshman. And people always ask what position I played. I played Rudy. Remember Rudy?
Yeah.
He was a practice player, played like one. That was me. And it was hard for me to embrace the fact that I was a practice player. Do you know what a practice player is?
Yeah. The scout team.
The scout team, or some people call them the fun team. I remember one time I played running back. One time we were the scout offense against the first string defense. It was actually the junior varsity defense. One time I got the ball and ran through the line and ran up the sideline. I got like 10 yards right down. Wow. The coach was so mad. You can't tackle little Gazzaldo? What's wrong with y'all? And I was so proud of myself, but I'd accept my role that when I was successful, coach got mad. Coach got mad. That took years for me to accept that. We all have a role to play. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
What is the attitude of gratitude, right? That's the
attitude
expression
gratitude.
We all have to maintain.
Be grateful.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to use positive self-talk. You know, I'm here for a reason. God's using me to build up victory, that the kingdom of God will be victorious. Some of us are going to have to be on the front lines. Some of us are called to be on the behind and in front. I think in many ways the apostles, you know, they would be overseers, but they also lead. I appreciate pastors who not only just stand in the back, but also lead, you know, lead people in.
And recognize when it's time to shift from one to the other. Yeah.
To empower other people, lead by example, make yourself vulnerable, open to criticism. You know, whenever I teach a class and I got a bunch of people there and I say, are there any questions? You know, somebody asked me a question the other night and I didn't know what answer was. And somebody had to show me up, you know. Why do we have to use beeswax at mass? Like, I don't know. I think because mom said so. There's a whole theological reason. Okay, yeah, I didn't know that. I wish I would love to say, no, I got all the answers, Tom. My mind's like a, you know, like a library. I'm a savant.
Nobody has those answers. All the answers. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, Father, let's pause there for our week here. We'll pick back up with our conversation of the cardinal virtues and the capital sins next week here on What Would Father Say. If you would, please, Father, leave us with your blessing.
All right. Well, let's end with the doxology. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you, Tom, and everybody listening.
and with your spirit.
Amen. Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning
Right,
in.
brother.
Remember, we re-air Encore broadcast on Sunday afternoon, and we're looking for your questions at tom@armorofgodradio.com. tom@armorofgodradio.com is where you can submit your questions for What Would Father Say? Thanks again, Father, and we'll see everybody next week.